The Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, beginning at verse 35, reading in Jesus' name. And if you could stand for the reading of the Gospel. And the same day when eve was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him another little ship. And there arose a great storm and a wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him, and say unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, Peace and be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Please be seated. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask that by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that you would speak to us. We ask that you would speak boldly and that men and flesh would be silent. Allow, Father, that we would allow all other things to melt away from our minds and allow your word to penetrate. Allow us to be encouraged, enlightened, chastised, and loved. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have an interesting part of Scripture here. One that I'm sure we've read at many times in our life. The reality of it is that the disciples, they were with Christ, they saw him do many great miracles. They saw him, in reality, take and remove evil spirits from people's lives. They saw him take and feed thousands. They saw him heal individuals. And sometimes we're pretty acceptable about those kind of miracles. In other words, if we can straighten out something that we can understand, that's pretty interesting. But now we're going to encounter, if we could say it this way, our mighty God confronting nature itself. Sometimes we have a tendency to believe that our circumstances are too big and too great. And as young individuals, you're going to face so many things in your life that at times you'll wonder, how will I get through? Many of you have siblings that are now facing different circumstances and different issues. Like Miranda, your sister's going to be heading to college. And that's a big undertaking. As a young adult to enter into college, and to now go from being top dog in high school now to one of the lower totem poles in college. It's difficult. How do we do it financially? How do we do it in many different ways? We might have issues in our life where we deal with the aspect of illness and sickness. That's pretty much the same thing, right? But the fact being is we know that there are circumstances and difficulties. And we just heard your bold testimony of how now you have been encouraged to stand before this congregation and make your claim to be part of it. And now there's two responsibilities in this claim. There are two responsibilities because you now have taken upon yourself the responsibility to be a communicant member, an accepted member in this congregation. But also you, brothers and sisters in Christ, you have asked me to do my job. You have asked Brother Mark to teach them for 2 years and do his job. And now you have witnessed this great confirmation. Now the responsibility on your side is to receive them. To receive them as active members. To receive them as communicant members. And to hear what they have to say. I could go down the sympathy road. I could sit up here and I could try to talk to you about the fact that this is not a graduation. That now you guys aren't all done with us. And it seems that more time goes on, the more as pastors we try to do that. But the fact of it is, the last confirmation class
really, you got a tall order to follow them.
You know, I really was encouraged because if you look at the last confirmation class, a majority of them are very active in this congregation still, and I praise God for that. And so you have big shoes to fill. And so when we come down to it and we understand that we both now have made this promise, made this covenant, that we would not only be partakers, but that we would also be receivers. But how do we do this? How do we honestly take on this role? You can't do it without Christ. We can't do it without Christ. See, and this is the whole point. Jesus ministered, and He ministered to His people, and He encouraged them, and He strengthened them. But yet, even now, when He takes, if we can even use the physical aspect of slumbering, I'm trying to stay here. I am. I'm trying to stay here. Connie Foote's probably telling me, walk. But the fact being, if we turn around and we look at it, that now Jesus slumbers in this ship and the weather becomes quite boisterous. And the people on this ship now, they're starting to panic. They're starting to wonder. What is going on? The ship is taking on water. Issues and struggles are happening. Difficulties are coming our way. But now to understand that even the disciples themselves, they struggled in these areas. They had Christ present in the physical with them, and they struggled in these areas. And sometimes, as congregate members, we don't have patience with one another. We'll turn around and say, "What's wrong with you? Of course this is true. Of course this is real." But yet that human nature just continues to battle in issues of faith. But we are here for one another. You may not realize it, but Kaiser, you encouraged me. You encouraged me. All of you encouraged me. Because you came to the camp, and you came willingly. And you sat through your classes, and you asked questions, and you got involved. And it gives me encouragement that I'm not in this alone. You know, you ever feel that way in life sometimes? That sometimes we're just in it alone. And maybe we're going to go in the corner, or we're going to eat our worms, and nobody likes us. But the fact of it is, when we encounter people that have a desire to learn and to know more, even for a pastor like me, it is so encouraging. Because it means that we're not in it alone. And you aren't in it alone. This congregation and many other congregations around, you saw the congregations that were represented at camp. You saw it. You saw Florida. You saw South Carolina. You saw Minnesota. In a few years, I would imagine you will see Washington. You will see many other individuals, but you saw all these individuals come from miles and miles away to be encouraged by one another, to be strengthened. And did you notice? Yes, us pastors, we are goofy at times. We laugh. We have fun. But we encourage each other. The disciples were feeling quite alone as this ship started to fill up with water. They are feeling quite alone, even to the point they thought they are going to be swamped. But they forgot who they were with. They were with, in reality, the Creator of this world. They were with the One that created the water, the earth, and the wind. Not only does He have authority and power over the physical aspects of our life, even though they are corrupted by sin, this flesh, He still has dominion over it. They're going to learn something great. That our God in reality has dominion over everything. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the hope of the gospel. This is the hope of what you are confirmed in. This is the hope in reality that brings everlasting life to each and every one of us. So they turn around and they start going to the other side. But the fact of it is now, there rises this great storm. The waves beat against the ship and it was now getting full of water. Have you ever watched Lake Superior when you're out there at camp? My wife and I are blessed. Sometimes we get tired because it seems like all you do is work out there, but we got to learn to enjoy. But we are blessed to stay there all summer. And I'll tell you, it's an interesting thing. Many others can attest to this. But you'll be sitting there looking at the water, and it'll be flat as ice. It'll level right out. And it seems like within an hour, you can start having white caps out there. It changes that quick. And when you turn around and you look in reality at things out there at Camp Lufkin. One of the biggest eyesores that we have out there is what? What is falling apart and what is being destroyed? The old dock. Stay off the old dock. The old dock. The waves have pounded on it for years and years. It is made strong by men. Alfred put a lot of heart into that dock, I'm sure. And when you look at the amount of timber that's in there, stone that's in there, pins, steel pins that are in there, and I think every piece of steel from the copper country got recycled in that dock. You see steel sticking out of it. You see everything going on. But it's falling apart. Why? Why is that dock falling apart? Because the waves have crashed against it for years and years and years. And we have neglected to maintain it. This isn't a punch for Lufkin. It's not an ad campaign for a new dock. It's the reality of life. If we do not maintain and stay connected to the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, we also will wear down. We also will be overcome. And these individuals, they yet did not have the Holy Spirit, but they were present with Christ. And they turn around and they see that the ship is taking on this water and they are very nervous. And so they come to Jesus and they wake Him up. And they ask this question, do you not even care? Don't you care that we are, in reality, going to be ruined? Well, didn't we care that that dock was going to go to dismay? I guess we didn't. We put our money elsewhere. But the fact being, does God care? Does He care for you? Yes, He does. He desires for you. He desires for you to have a relationship with Him. He desires for you for the rest of your life to continue to be maintained by His Holy Spirit. He desires for you to be encouraged by His body, the body of believers. And this is why even this day we make this pronouncement, we make this engagement here to say, you are now active recipients of this congregation. You are now members. We technically get a little technical. You're not a voting member until you're 18. But you're still members of the communicant body. And that's just a man's rule on the other part. But the fact being is, are we being maintained? Are we being taken care of? Are we staying connected to that life preserver, Jesus Christ? And they ask the question, do you care? And the answer is yes. For God cares so much for you that He sent His only begotten Son, that your sin debt would remain no more, that by faith in Him and turning away from the world and turning away from everything else, you might find encouragement in Him. So how will Monica go to college? How will Caitlin go to college? The individuals just before you, they will go by faith. They will go encouraged that God will watch over them wherever they may go. How will we get up in the morning or next Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning and head out to the East Coast to bury a brother? we will do it in the hands of Jesus Christ. Encourage.
How will we face diseases? How will we face turmoil and struggles in our life? We will do it in the hand of Jesus Christ, who preserves us and maintains us. How? How in reality will we ever get up in the morning and move forward into this world and to preach a hopeful message and a powerful message of restoration for each and every soul upon this earth?
In the hands of Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith.
He says yes, very much. He cares. He may not say it in the words, but he definitely says it in the action. In other words, when they ask him, he doesn't say a word. It's no thing to Jesus. He doesn't say a word. He stands up and he addresses the issue. Do you know you have a Savior that stands up and addresses the issues for you? Are you encouraged by that?
He stands up and it says, "Peace and be still." That's all he speaks.
There is turmoil. There is difficulty. There is struggle. And Jesus brings peace. When the disciples are worked up, even after his resurrection, and they're hiding, and they're scared they're going to get killed next, he comes into the room and he doesn't chastise them. He doesn't do anything like that. He doesn't say, "What's wrong with you people?" He says, "Peace." The religion of men does not bring peace. The religion of men brings fear and damnation. And we have been called to greater things than this. We have been called the ambassadors of Jesus Christ, just as you have made known to us. And that we in reality are sent to represent who? Who are we to represent?
Jesus is always the answer. Remember, it sounds like a squirrel, but it must be Jesus. Jesus. We represent Jesus.
I asked these young individuals in one of our studies one night, they said, "Well, what is an ambassador?" And they quickly answered, because they're all so smart, that it is one that represents something. I said, "So an ambassador to America represents who?" America. So if I go to England and I start pushing for all of Russia's way, am I being a good ambassador for America?
Absolutely not, they said.
So if I do not represent America's needs and America's values and I go to a different nation, what should happen to me? They said it. I should be fired. We are ambassadors of Christ, called by the Apostle Paul himself. And if we do not represent Him in this world, and we do not represent His ministry and His good news, but we represent rather man's ideas and man's stipulations and man's struggles, then we are not the ambassador of Christ. And we need to be fired. If I stand behind this pulpit as a gospel minister, and if I stand up here and preach to you my theology, my understanding, and my system, I would ask that Mark Antioho would get up and fire me. We represent Christ and Him alone. But God is a righteous God, isn't He? And He calls for righteousness. Therefore, I must give you all kinds of instruction. The Word is what instructs, just as you would repeat it to us. And the Word is that convicts. Jesus says very plainly in the Gospels, He says, "I do not come to judge, rather to save." He says, "But there is one that comes, that does do the judging. The words that I speak, that in the end time," he says, "will judge." God's word will always stand true. Does he care? Yes. He cares so much that he went upon that cross. And he says, "Father, forgive them. Peace. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." He says it in reality for his mother. He says it for his disciples. He says it for the stranger. And he says it for us. Forgive them. Then he turns around after the wind ceases. And he asks this question. And he's not abusing them here. He says, "Why are you so afraid?"
See, sometimes when we see a question like this from Jesus, we get all panicky, like, well, now he's looking at me and going to beat me up. And that's not what his intention is. Why are you afraid? What's controlling you? Are you allowing the things of the earth to control you? Are you allowing the wisdom of men to control you? Are you allowing all these other things? Are you allowing the traditions of men to control you? Tradition in reality is never a bad thing. We have great traditions. But tradition never overrides Scripture. Know your Scripture. Don't take somebody else's word for it all the time. There are those that can teach. There are those that can encourage. There are those that can preach. But be sure to know your Scripture yourself, so that you may, in reality, give a defense for the faith that's found within you. He says, why? Why are you so fearful? He says, and that you have such little faith. Because I am human. I am human. And the Father says, in reality, I know you are human, and I know you struggle, and I know that you cannot produce salvation for yourself. So we'll find later in the Gospels that He will do it for us. It's not that the law was wrong. It was that we were so weak that we could not do it. So Christ, in the love that He has for us, went to that cross for the joy that was set before Him. And today, focusing on you guys, you are His joy. They turned around and it says that they were in awe. They feared greatly and they said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? And we know the answer. This is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ is not His last name. It is Jesus, the Messiah. The one who in reality was anointed to pay for our sin debt. And He is our Lord. May He be glorified. May He continue to glorify Himself in your lives each and every day. May you always feel the presence of love that God offers through His Holy Spirit for you. And I love what Brother Mark prayed today. That you would be encouraged no matter where you go in life. No matter whatever circumstances that you may face, that God is on your side. And may you continue to keep the fellowship of the saints. And I'll be the first to tell you this. The fellowship of the saints is not a country club that says Apostolic Lutheran Church of America. I have respect for this church. I have respect for the Federation. But my salvation lies solely in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are Christians. We are not Apostolic Lutherans. We are Christians. Luther would roll over his grave if he knew that we named a church after a bag of worms like him. And that's what he would say. First and foremost, we are Christians. We happen to attend an Apostolic Lutheran church. May our eyes never be so fogged that we can't see beyond that. Otherwise, we are of all people most miserable. We love you guys, each and every one of you. And we ask that you continue to fellowship until God calls you somewhere else. And I pray that He allows you to stay here forever. Go find husbands and wives and bring them back. We'll take more. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.